Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 106 on July 22nd, 2015. Changing the world one ass at a time. Hey, everybody. I am going to start off with a letter that I actually received back in April from a man. He sent in a photo of his wife, and it's a lovely photo. You'll have to go to the blog to see it. She doesn't just have her strap on, harness and dildo on. She also has on stockings and beautiful high heels, and so I highly recommend that you check it out. And here is the letter that it was attached to. Good evening, Ruby. Attached is a picture of my wife. Thank you for referring us to this harness style. She loves it, gets incredibly wet, and wow, the control to really fuck me is amazing. Even got to fulfill the shower fantasy she had because she can actually use it like it's her real penis. Of course, when she puts the Jacques harness on with it. Plus, all that wetness leaves me an incredible dessert to enjoy afterwards, so plus plus for both of us. I blurred a little so tats didn't show, but you'll get the idea. Have a great evening. Thank you for contributing a photo to my blog. I happily put it up at the top of podcast number 106 on my blog, and she has been memorialized on Pegging Paradise. So show it to her when she gets home. Maybe it'll be a surprise to her if you're the one that listens to the podcast. And thank you for sending it in. It is a beautiful photo. And let's see, after that, we are going to swing right into pegging celebration time. Okay, this one is short but sweet. I am writing to tell you I had my first pegging experience last week. It was absolutely incredible. Simple. He rode on top of me, but watching him was such a turn-on. And there has been a mind shift for me. The dildo is mine. It is my cock. Part of me. And I enjoy fucking him myself. And it was a good experience for him. We are friends. First time for both of us, so we were kind of loving with no expectations. I am so happy. Thank you for all your teaching. It made the experience wonderful and not so scary. And she spelled scary with a capital S, so I imagine there were some fears there that she needed to get through. I am so happy for you, too. Congratulations. I'm glad it went well. And I know that feeling of, ooh, this is mine now. That's a really fun one, and I'm glad you got to experience that. Please feel free to write in again and let us know how it's going. And good for you for using the cowboy position for first time. It really does make everything easier, and it is intimate. You do get to see those lovely expressions and have access to his cock, and yeah, it's one of my favorites, actually. So, yes, congratulations. Okay, now we're going to move into a previously explored subject, which we explored on the last podcast and the one before that. It's all about the shame and sort of sexual exploration and new experiences and that kind of thing from the male point of view. I have a comment from a listener. I listened to your most recent episode. The topics of masculinity and shame resonate deeply with me, as I've been doing a lot of processing and writing on the subject. I did disagree with the claim made that being called a fag is related purely to masculinity and not inferring to homosexuality. I disagree as I believe that whether unmanly or gay, when used in a derogatory manner, they are the same, two sides of the same misogynistic coin. When men are insulted for acting in a feminine manner, whether they are called a fag, gay, sissy, girly, or unmasculine, it's all the same. It's defining masculinity as not appearing feminine, as feminine is of less value and women lower in status than men. Whether sucking cock, getting pegged, enjoying a musical, eating quiche, or wearing pink, other men will often react negatively to this idea of another man doing something defined as feminine and shaming. Society falsely ascribes all kinds of traits as being exclusively masculine or feminine. I believe that men react so negatively, shaming, and sometimes even violent to this is because they are either, one, defining their own masculinity as they know that there are aspects of themselves that don't conform to the narrow constraints of masculinity, as none of us do in all ways at all times, and are afraid of being found out and being thrown out of the man box, or two, they are truly disgusted that another man would discard their privileged status of male to willingly express a trait widely accepted to be feminine, and hence shameful, reducing their status to that of a lowly woman. This gets worse and more likely to be violent when men are in a group, as they perform their masculinity to each other by distancing themselves from the faggy behavior. I see this all as different expressions of misogyny, as none of this would be shameful if women weren't devalued by society. Feminine wasn't seen as less valuable than masculine, and women valued as equals. When that happens, masculinity may no longer be policed by shaming away the things that ladies and homos do, like taking it in the ass. Whew, really, really good points here. I think you are absolutely right that deep down underneath everything, it is misogynistic. It reminds me of Charlie Glickman stating that if you think that taking it up the ass is something that's going to make you less manly or less than, or it's going to affect how will she look at me tomorrow morning, right? Then it would do you well to take a good long look at your attitudes towards women, because women are penetrated all the time. That was his point, was a man being penetrated that thinks that somehow that is going to make him less than he was before he was penetrated. And this is exactly what you were talking about, but I'd never really heard it put all together with the whole masculine-feminine thing. This is excellent, and thank you so much for writing in. This is really good stuff. I love the way that this conversation keeps going. And I have one sentence comment that I pulled from a message that I really thought was quite a winner that is still in the same subject. Every once in a while, I hear a comment either in the media or in person referring to pegging as turning in your man card. Whew, and we wonder why it's so taboo, and we wonder why men can be quite reluctant to try this, and also, more than anything, quite reluctant to tell anyone that they enjoy anal pleasure. Wow, turning in your man card, holy shit. Thank you for whoever wrote that sentence in. I don't remember where I grabbed it. I think that's all I have on this subject, but please, everybody, please feel free to continue writing in along those lines, because, boy, if that's something that's pervasive, it is sexual shame. It's in all areas of sexuality, but in this particular area that has so much to do with the passions that's why we're all here at Pegging Paradise, this is really quite intense, and I didn't know that I was going down the rabbit hole here of sexual shame. I know that when I talked to my friend in Denver a long time ago, and he told me the biggest reason that men are afraid to try pegging is because they're afraid that their partner will tell their friends, their people, everybody, that even if you have a happy marriage, a happy girlfriend, boyfriend relationship, that what if it all of a sudden isn't happy anymore? And what if she then tells everyone in your community? And that this is enough sometimes to stop men from even exploring it, because they fear that reaction so much, that possibility of being outed, which would then more than likely result in the shaming. Ah, ay, ay, ay. You poor guys, I just want to hug you all. You know, there's another link that I am going to put in for you guys in the Linkorama. And this is a short little video that It's a YouTube video, and it's Dan Savage. And I guess the best description would be Dan Savage on straight men. It looks as if he was at a university because he did travel around and answer all kinds of great sex questions for all the university students and college students. But this is like a little monologue he goes on about straight men and the whole being accused of being gay and blah, blah, blah. And it's really worth a watch because this is definitely related, absolutely related here. So check that out in the Linkorama. All right, moving on a little bit here. This is from the guy on Reddit whose wife was not down for pegging and he wanted to figure out a way to fuck himself. We had a couple of recommendations and he also wrote back in. Thank you for your advice. I have started researching what toy would be good to start out with and I'll let you know which one I choose. I'm almost a total novice when it comes to anal play. My first experience was when I was staying the night at my friend's mother's house. I found a small toy in her bathroom and tried it out on myself. It felt different, but in a good way. Afterwards, I felt guilty about it, but my curiosity remained. After you responded to my question on Reddit, I found myself checking your blog daily in hopes of seeing your answer posted and started listening to your archived podcasts. I love your passion for the subject and your genuine concern for your listeners. Each episode and story that you would post would heighten my curiosity more and more. Last week, one of your posts sent me over the boiling point. Later that night, I cleared my obligation I had for the evening to start exploring a long-neglected part of my body. I started off just using my fingers, and after 30 minutes of fumbling around, I noticed my heart began to race, and I was experiencing new sensations, and I didn't know what to make of it. But my natural impulse was to start stroking my cock, and I came hard. Harder than I expected, and shot out a huge load of cum that I have never come close to making in my life. I was left out of breath and excited to see what else might be in store with more practice. Thanks again for your advice and encouragement. That's awesome. What lovely beginnings for anal exploration. Congratulations, sir. So I have a couple of recommendations for you of alternate ways to do the fucking yourself. Okay, there are two liberator pillows. One is more round and more versatile, and it's called the Pulse. And the other is flatter and really meant to hold the magic wand, and it's called the Axis. So let's talk about those for a little bit. I heard your suggestions on the listener who asked how to do self-pegging. I have experimented with using a double-ended dildo, Fun Factory Share, with a liberator wedge that has an insert for a vibrator or dildo. I have the Liberator Axis. The Liberator Axis was originally bought for my wife to use with her magic wand, which fits nicely. Being the creative type and wanting to explore pegging solo and then see if it's something my wife liked, I found that the Fun Factory Share's female end fits into the slot, leaving a nice situation to explore pegging. It is a bit costly to get set up, but I figure the Access is a two-for-one deal, and the Share has also been initiated with my wife. Pegging celebration back in 2013. It is a nice setup. Ah, thank you for that example. That's awesome. So there's the Access and the Pulse. So the Liberator Pulse is actually a cushion that it has a vague sort of teardrop shape, but with rounded edges. And if you flip it over on one side, it has a really nice toy insert that you can put dildos and vibrators and all kinds of different toys in there, and it'll hold them quite securely. And then you can ride it and basically fuck yourself. It's quite versatile because of the roundness of the cushion itself. You can ride it in both directions. You can flip it over and actually use it as just a cushion to elevate hips or lay over a little bit. So it's a pretty cool one. And that is called the Pulse. Okay, and one more suggestion for how to do self-pegging. You guys really ponied up here. Are you really sending some good stuff? Okay, maybe you already know all about this, but in case you don't, I want to alert you to a magnificent toy that is really the perfect solo pegging toy. It is currently being marketed under the name Fetish Fantasy Glide. The origin of the toy is interesting. Originally, 5 or so years ago, it was marketed as a toy for gay men called the Jackhammer Johnson. Then the ownership changed, and it was subsequently marketed to women under the name Fantasy Glide. If it were up to me, I would call it Dick on a Stick, or just call it what everyone spontaneously calls it, which is the Pogo, or the Sex Pogo. It's not a true Pogo, really, but you'll get it when you see it. It resembles a 5-foot-long hiking staff, where the last foot is sleeved with a spring that allows reciprocal bouncing or stroking movement. I have seen it categorized under fucking machines, but that's just inaccurate. It's a toy, no electricity, and it works equally well for women to fuck themselves in the vagina with a dildo, or for women or men to fuck themselves in the ass with a dildo, in many different positions. In fact, as I told a friend, the next time someone tells you to go fuck yourself, this is the toy you want. And it can be found for only $72 if you know where to look on Amazon. It can be twice that elsewhere. And of course, I'm going to put the link in the Linkorama for you guys, because he does link to the cheap place you can get it on Amazon. He goes on to say, I have pegged myself with this toy and I've helped and observed female partners play with it vaginally, where it yields some really spectacular results. The attached photo shows the toy with a cloned copy of my penis mounted to it. I have spent a fair amount of time inventing and modifying sex toys, so that's another conversation. But that setup, as shown, would allow any man who clones himself to peg himself with a copy of his own penis, and would help him understand what he's asking his female or male partner to do if he wants to penetrate them anally with his penis. He can. He should. Try his dick on his own ass first. Now that ought to develop empathy. The latest version of the toy has the Doc Johnson Universal mount on the end, so you can attach any Doc Johnson Vacu-Lock dildo to it. And then, I believe he made up the name for it, the Pegging Pogo. Get yours today. So I'm going to put a picture of this on my blog so you guys can see it, and it really is an interesting toy. And I can see where it has a lot of applications. So if that appeals to anybody, that is something that, you can do a whole lot of things with, whether laying down, standing up, all kinds of different things. You just, the imagination, the mind boggles, and the imagination can go crazy with this one. Wow. Thank you for that suggestion, sir. Thanks for writing in. I appreciate it. And I will be posting that picture of the the Pegging Pogo with your cloned dick on it on my blog. So thanks for sending that in. And for all of you guys listening out there who are at the same place as this guy is, and you would really just like to explore your own ass and check it out yourself, I'm going to put the link in the Linkorama for beginners, like newbies, solo anal play as well, because that's a great place to start. That'll just give you some hints as to sort of what to keep in mind, how to do it, you know, different ideas. So that might be helpful. Okay, now this one is a little bit older because this person is talking about Masturbation Month. Really enjoying your Masturbation Month posts. The pictures and writing are unbelievable. You have done so much to change my outlook on sexuality. First came pegging, which has created in me the strong need to be taken by a woman. I have learned to understand things a little better through the eyes of the female. I tend to look at a woman now, wishing her to be in the role of controlling my sexuality and owning the power to control my orgasm and forcing her desires on me. But, parentheses, timidity prevents me from putting this under day 6, orgasm 8, which was just so hot. I feel with the right woman helping me, and she would have to be very special to achieve this, I too could cross the line and allow myself to be taken by a male for her pleasure. I have never felt this before. Ooh, isn't that an exciting thing? When you feel new parts, when you discover new parts of yourself, that turn you on, when you discover new desires, and all of a sudden you walk over a little line that previously you thought you never would, or previously perhaps you never even considered, and all of a sudden there you are, and you are looking at something that totally turns you on, the idea of it, and considering doing it. That can be such an exciting moment. It sounds simple, but I do recall when I was back there myself looking at the spanking website and spending 3 hours there and getting off like twice or three times. I can't recall. Wow, that was such an exciting time. It was like when I finally shut down the computer and went to bed at the wee hours in the morning, I thought to myself, whoa, okay, here's something else about me. Kind of, you know, something else that actually defines me. This is something that turns me on. And that is like a new, sparkly, shiny place to be. So congratulations, and thank you for sharing that. And I'm not going to tell anybody who you are, clearly. So I hope it's okay that I read this on the podcast since I didn't use your name. And I'm really glad that you enjoyed day 6, orgasm 8. Okay, and here is a pretty long personal story. This is really interesting. Let me read you this. My story starts off in my teens when I knew something was a little different about my sexual desires. I grew up in an open, all-female household and got into looking at pornography early. I was a horny teenager with a computer in my room. It's gonna happen. I always had a fascination with women's clothing. I found myself pleasuring myself all dressed in female clothing. I found my way to pegging and strap-on porn, and it pegged my interest. Pun intended, right? By the time I was 18 and had my first credit card, I was wearing lingerie, high heels, and playing with anal toys and dildos. After a few times, I would become so overwhelmed by shame and guilt that what I was doing was wrong, I threw all the toys and clothing away, only later to repurchase it all and do it again. I still watched anal porn, but didn't indulge in dressing up for years. My desires for anal were kept secret for years until 6 years ago. I met my now wife and mother of my children. By our third time having sex, she said how fun it would be going to the toy store together. I was so happy. I finally found a sexually open and liberated woman. She wore heels to work every day and was confident about herself. She is not a size 2, but she's beautiful and oozed sexy. We made love constantly, once a night at least. She would wear lingerie for me, wear high heels to bed, and always had great sex. One night in bed, we were talking about different things that turn us on, and I came clean about liking anal play. I waited for a response. I didn't know what she was going to say. She said that seemed kind of vanilla to her. I was shocked and thrilled at the same time. We bought a strap-on beginner kit. I think it was the bend-over boyfriend one from Tantus. One night, after going out with friends, we went back to our apartment. She ordered me to go into the bedroom and get her knee-high boots and strap-on. I couldn't hide the raging hard-on in my jeans. I did what I was told. The mechanics of it were a little off, it being our first time. I ended up on my back with using the dildo by hand, jacking me off. The orgasm was great. To this day, it is still one of the most erotic and exciting nights of my life. A short time later, a 1-2 punch to our sexy life happened. My wife broke a leg very badly. Wearing heels, she got stuck in a rug and rolled her ankle. It required surgery and hardware. Short time after she was healed, we found out about that we were going to be parents. After the birth of my first child, needless to say, our lives changed. Less us time and all baby time. But it wasn't just that. Even though my wife was 100% healed from her ankle injury, she to this day refuses to wear any heels. The combination of her injury and childbirth left her feeling not sexy. I tried all I could to reinforce the fact that wasn't true, but it fell on deaf ears. For the next 4 years, our sex life stopped almost completely. I was lucky if I got her laying on her back motionless sex maybe every other month. Somewhere in there, we got pregnant again. After the pregnancy, after the healing, she finally admitted to me that she loved me, but she feels like she really has no interest in having sex. Not just with me, but in general. We have talked a few times about my desires of anal play and strap-ons, but nothing ever comes of it. I try not to assign blame. If you have no interest in sex, how can you care about a sexual act just for another person? We engage now in regular penis and vagina sex, and me giving her oral pleasure about once every 3 to 4 weeks. Still mostly me making her come, either orally or vaginally, and her allowing me to finish. I still know that most of our sexual actions are her doing it just to appease me. Now I have a secret stash again of lingerie, high-heeled boots, and toys. She knows about some of the toys, not the clothes. I pleasure myself when I can, only when I won't be discovered. We have both been hurt in past relationships by infidelity. We made an agreement very early on that we would call it quits if anything got to the point that one of us would be unfaithful. I have made online profiles like on FetLife where I dive into my fantasies by sharing pictures and video of myself play. I found a professional dominatrix local to me, and where I live that's not easy at all. I was so overcome by guilty feelings, even though there is no sex involved, that I only sent her 2 messages. I couldn't even comprehend how I could do anything that I found sexually gratifying with anyone other than my wife. I love my wife to death. I love my children more than anything in the world. I don't want to have anyone else in my life but them. Yet I feel that sexuality is a part of what makes you you, and I am being pulled apart from my family and my desires. I don't know what to do. Thanks for the show. Thanks for the ear. I hope that anyone else in my position can find a way to be happy. Oh, my heart aches for you. Goodness sakes. Okay, let's see. A couple of things stand out to me. First, just to mention about the high heels. If you have never worn high heels for extended period of time yourself, then you might not have a clue how uncomfortable they are. So just remember that part. And one is that you mentioned that you both had been hurt by people being unfaithful. Okay, being unfaithful and cheating and infidelity is when you make an agreement for monogamy and then you break it, okay? What is still a possibility for the two of you, considering the situation that you described, which is really quite untenable for you, is to renegotiate that agreement of monogamy. An agreement of monogamy, in my world, in my opinion, is based on both partners continuing to try and satisfy each other's sexual needs. She has made it quite clear that this is not something she's really interested in anymore. So perhaps the non-monogamy thing is something to consider. Perhaps this monogamous agreement that you two have could be renegotiated because you want to stay with her, you love her, you love the children. And I know that it's hard for you to even think about being with anyone but her. But at the same time, you're edging towards that. I would suggest that if you continue down that road, it would be much better to talk with her about it than to just do it. Because then those fears that both of you have of someone cheating on you again will be a reality. So always better to communicate it first. 2 other things around this subject. One is that I think it would be a really good idea for her to be checked for hormone levels and to find out if some kind of hormone treatment could bring back her libido. You may remember a previous podcast interview with a friend of mine, Sue. And Sue had lost her libido completely and her husband was just about ready to ask for like a free pass. And she went in to see her doctor and got an implant, and it wasn't testosterone, it was a different one, but it made a night and day difference. All of a sudden, she totally has her libido back. So if it was something that was that fairly easy to do, maybe that would be a great idea. She may not feel like this is something she even wants to try right now. And you know, raising 2 kids, I get that. I raised 1, but I did it by myself. And kids can be freaking exhausting. So I can understand her attitude when she comes from the perspective of, I don't even want to try, I don't have room for this, I just don't want to do this anymore. However, if she realizes how important this is to you, and also is reminded of, You know, the good giving and game, you try and give your partner what they want. You try and meet your partner's sexual needs. You can't just halfway through the marriage say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, and expect there to be no consequences. So if she realizes how important this is to you, perhaps she will be motivated to go to the doctor and check out the hormone thing. And, you know, perhaps that will make a change, and perhaps it won't. Perhaps they won't find anything, or sometimes they just give people hormones and that particular drug cocktail and the hormone doesn't work. And then maybe partway through trying the different hormones, you know, women get tired of it and say, okay, just forget it. I don't want to do this. So there's lots of possibilities where this path could go. But the point is, she needs to understand how important this is to you. And that way, it can stop being a hidden thing for you and it can stop with the shame. It might be a good idea to try and tell her at this point about the dressing up thing. It's something you've hidden for so long, but it would be good to get it resolved in terms of just basically having more regular sex. And then also, I think therapy would be a great idea. It sounds like maybe the communication around all this isn't as good as it can be. I hear how much you love her. You're eloquent about that, and you're adamant about it. But I also hear that you're really, really not happy, and it just aches. It makes my heart ache for you. The other thing that struck me was in the beginning when you talked about dressing up in dresses and high heels and things and getting off on that and using toys, that you would be overcome by shame and throw it all away. This is a common cycle for crossdressers, and I didn't understand this until I sat down with a good friend of mine who is a crossdresser and asked him a zillion questions about it. He lives in Denver, so thank you, because I know you're listening, dude. And this was a real waker-upper to me, and this also makes my heart ache, that the shame of having these things is so much that occasionally you just throw it all away, and then you start to collect it again. So I'm sorry you had to go through that. I'm sorry the society is so unaccepting of men being anything remotely feminine, which, you know, harkens back to our previous conversation about shame and sexuality and men doing things that can be perceived as feminine. Here's a perfect example. There's so much shame involved in terms of doing something that can be perceived as feminine that you just want to hide it from everyone. Nonetheless, you two really need to talk about this. You need to maybe get some therapy, and she needs to maybe get a doctor's visit for hormones, and you maybe need to revisit the whole thought about monogamy, because that's how important this is. You're already thinking about going somewhere else. So be honest with her and let her know that, because she needs to know how important this is to you. And last but not least, I'm going to throw in a little mention of, I am assuming that you're doing as much as you can to be as helpful as possible with raising those two kids with her and not leaving her to do all the work, that you're basically, you know, the good guy husband that tries to help out wherever he can. Because that's really, really important too. If she's exhausted because she's expected to handle everything and you're off at work and you don't help out when you come home, that's not going to make it easy. That's not going to make her magically all of a sudden have a bunch of energy that she might have a little more of if you were to help out. So I just wanted to mention that, because if that is missing, then you need to consider that as part of the formula as well. Thank you for writing in. Let us know how it goes, and good luck to you, sir. Okay, moving on to another letter. Hi, Ruby. I need your help, if you may. Also, please excuse my English. I am not a native speaker. I am 25 years old, heterosexual boy, who has never had any kind of sex. I feel embarrassed to even write it, but from a very young age, I loved playing with my ass and inserting stuff up there. Sometimes I also liked putting some bra and dresses on myself during the act. Only two times, though. During the years, I was introduced to BDSM and strap-on stuff through the net. And my favorite porn is domination, specifically strap-on, of woman on man, but also man on woman. I read your great articles and listened to your podcasts like Reassurance for the Men, and the one with the one who went to a pro-dom for pegging, and so on. I have a fantasy where a woman pegs me and lets me suck her strap-on while I am wearing a wig, panties, and bra, treating me like a slut, basically. I am confused because I do not know why I have these desires, and recently I thought about acting upon them and considered going to a pro-dom. Your article about the subject was convincing. My questions are, why I have these cross-dress and slut desires. About the ass penetration in the past, I succeeded using homemade tools to get an orgasm so great it felt wonderful. I know about the stigma about penetration being a gay thing, but to tell the truth, I know I am not one. Nor getting pegged will make me one. I am sure attracted to women and want to fuck them in regular and in a kinky way when I will get the opportunity. Which leads to my concern, the cross-dressing being a slut thing. Because I have never been with a girl before due to me being a computer geek focused on his work, I've had to serve in the army and my mom dying of cancer, depression, and more things I am seeing a professional psychiatrist for. Can it harm me in some way? On one hand, I want to start to be more manly and start going with girls, and on the other hand, I want to be pegged so much, want a woman to bend me over and do me in the ass, but also want to do that to them. From what I read on the net, I understand it is called a switch, and about the session itself, that it's just an experience and some sort of game, doing in consent, care from both parties, and me being a virgin had nothing to do with it, and that I am young and should just try things. Should I give a pro-dom a try? I feel very excited about such a thing, but I fear it will fuck up my mind somehow when I will be with a girl or will start acting like a female. It scares me. What should I do? I will appreciate if you answer me because I have no one else to ask. When trying to search this subject on the internet, most of the time I am getting porn videos and not much good educational content about the subject. Thank you and have a wonderful day. First of all, I compliment you on your courage to write in and tell me all these things. That took a lot of courage to do that, so good for you. And I will do the best I can to answer your questions. I am not the know-all, be-all person in terms of knowledge around these sorts of things. I use my instinct and I know a fair amount of therapeutic type of approaches. But first of all, I want to reassure you that all of your desires are completely normal. They may not be usual, they may be unusual in compared to other men, but they're totally normal desires that a fair number of men have. They're not something that is going to fuck you up for life. May make it a little bit difficult to find a partner eventually, but cross-dressing is a very common desire amongst kinky guys. So, first of all, let me reassure you of that. And the pegging thing too, you know, clearly here I am at Pegging Paradise telling everyone that their desires are okay, whether it's a woman that wants to strap one on and do a guy or whether it's a guy that wants anal stimulation, either from toys or from a woman strapping one on and doing him. So yes, both of those are normal. Cross-dressing's fine and pegging's fine. It's not unusual for those things to come together. I have my own theories about why that is. Sometimes I think that when men get pegged, it does put them in touch a little bit more with their feminine side. Certainly, it gives them a more an experience that's more feminine in terms of being penetrated and being vulnerable. So sometimes men enjoy combining the pegging with dressing up like a woman, even sounding like a woman. And that can go as little or as far as you like it. You will find that combined with pegging porn, you will find the feminization is what I call it, combined with the pegging in porn quite a bit. It almost seems like that's the only way to do it, even though we all know there's lots of different ways to do pegging. But the fact that you have fantasies of loving to get dressed up and then getting pegged, not a problem at all. Now, how should you do this? Should you go to a pro first, or should you just sort of let things happen and explore your sexuality first? That is a really good question. I'm not sure if I have a definite answer for you, because let me see if I can line out some of the advantages and disadvantages. When you are young, there are some people that think that you should have sex with people who are just as inexperienced as you are. And some people have very strong feelings about young people having sex with older people. I've run into this before because I do have a particular enjoyment of young men. And I've gotten some really intense reactions around that, not in my real life, but online, with people thinking that it's creepy, it's weird. People have a knee-jerk reaction to it sometimes. When I dug into this reaction, I happened to be on the Reddit forum, and there was a discussion about an older man with a younger woman. It had nothing to do with pegging, but a lot of people stuck their nose in there and told the guy how horrible he was because she was so young. Even though he'd handled it perfectly, he'd had this big conversation between the two of them. He was doing his best to follow the campsite rule. She was fully informed, and she wasn't really, really young, but definitely a whole lot younger than he was. Nonetheless, when I dug into it and tried to find out what is the deal, why do so many people freak out about the age difference? Because when you think about it logically, if you are a young person that has very little experience with sex, wouldn't it make sense to actually have your first few experiences, or even a number of them, with someone who is experienced, who can show you the ropes, instead of two people with no experience bumbling around and trying to find their way and not knowing what the hell they're doing? So in that sense, it does make sense logically. However, here is what I finally found when I dug down far enough and tapped into somebody who knew this answer. It's because the highest rates of coercion, which is the older person is really kind of manipulating and talking the younger person into having sex with them, the highest rates of coercion are amongst these types of pairings where one is significantly older than the other. So that doesn't mean that every single pairing of an older person and a younger person involves coercion. And unfortunately, that's the way that a lot of people seem to think about it. So having discussed that, I think that there's some merit personally in being a person with no experience and going to a person with a lot of experience. Another advantage to going to a pro would be that it's all about you. She wants to make the experience all about you. So you would be able to indulge these fantasies with someone who you're not having to worry about pleasing her. You're not having to worry about, does the harness fit right? Is she going to be okay if I put these clothes on and maybe put a wig and some makeup on? Because she's a professional and that's what she does. So there's the advantages. And this is the same advantages that I tell guys who want to do just the pegging and are thinking about going to a pro, no matter what age they are. Now, will that sort of ruin you for future experiences with people your own age? I don't think it will, but I don't really know how it will affect you. I think there are a fair number of men, more than women. I think there's probably very few women, but more men who have had their very first sexual experience with a pro. I think sometimes it's a good experience and sometimes it's not so good. Since you are really interested in these kinky things, I think that the interacting with a pro for your first time might be a good thing for you. Plus, it might help you sort of get it out of your system and experience it. Because otherwise, what I suspect is that you're going to try to be meeting women and just doing the regular fucking thing, which is awesome. But in the back of your mind, you're going to want to keep trying to find out if they're into the kinky stuff and maybe push it into that direction. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that, but you wouldn't want to rush it. And you are already really wanting this. So there are some people also who think, switching over to the other side of things, that your very first experience should be done with someone special, like a friend. Perhaps not waiting for the perfect person, because we all know there is no perfect person, but that your very first sexual experience should be done with someone who cares about you, who you know, who you trust, and that's more difficult to achieve with a professional who you're paying money to. It's easier to achieve with someone who is actually a friend and may not be your girlfriend forever, but that you care about each other and you know each other enough to have some trust to lose your virginity with. So there is that way of looking at things as well. The reason I'm laying all these things out there is so that you can listen to everything I have to say, and then you get to choose your own path. because I can't tell you which way to do it. There is no, this is the best way for everybody, because we're all different. So as you listen to this, if something really grabs you and you think, yes, that's what I want to do, well, then that's your path. So more specifically, it seemed like one of the questions that you asked me, the cross-dressing and being a slut thing, can it harm you in some way because you've never been with a girl before? I really don't think it can. It's just something that you have found out before you even have had sex that turns you on. So it's not something that can harm you, although it can interfere a little bit with getting your initial sexual experience, your new sexual experiences. And it can interfere with choosing a partner for the rest of your life because you're a little kinky. But that's part of the price of being kinky, is that there's only so many people out there who are kinky, and so you're going to be looking for kinky partners. And that reduces the odds of finding a person who matches you with kinky partners. Nonetheless, there's a ton of different ways to find people these days. There's internet, there's all kinds of things. And it enables you to find people who have the same kinky desires that you do, which is really important. This is something that I heard on Dan Savage's show a long, long time ago, and that's what started me actually embracing my own kinks, is he was encouraging a young woman to do this. And he said, you know, if you are a woman who has a pretty normal desire, kinky desire, like being submissive, you know, you want a guy to dominate you. Well, there's guys out there, you know, dime a dozen that'll do that, because that's really common type of kinky desire. I'm sort of just over the line into kink, actually. But if you have a much more unusual kink, and of course, as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking like pegging. He said, that's what the internet is made for. There are places like FetLife.com, AdultFriendFinder.com. What else is out there? There's Alt.com and CollarMe.com, but those last two I don't recommend nearly as much. But there are places to be able to meet people and actually sort through them and find out what their kinks are. And you can seek those out on the internet, and you can find people who like what you do. So don't fear like you're never ever going to find someone because you have these desires. Absolutely you will. Is it going to be harder? Yes, it will. But can you find someone eventually? Yes, you can. It just takes a little bit longer because you need a woman who loves the fact that you like to cross-dress and loves the fact that you like to feel like a slut and you want to get fucked. And believe me, there are women out there that love that. So let's see if there's anything I haven't addressed. Yes, it does sound like your switch, because not only do you want to be bent over and fucked and feel like a slut, but you kind of want to do the same to a young lady. So yes, that's a switch. Not a problem there. Make sure when you start exploring these things that it's done consensually, that you communicate, that you negotiate, and that you agree on what you want to do together. And more importantly, you agree on and respect each other's hard limits in terms of what you don't want to do together. There's a lot of things that come in the bag called kink. And just because you say, oh, I'm kinky, you know, you're kinky, let's go to bed and do kinky things. No, you need to communicate. And there's so many things that are important to talk about what you want and what you don't. So it'd be great, whether you end up finding a kinky young lady to explore this with or a pro, to have a very detailed conversation about what you'd like to experience and also what you do not want to be part of this sexual experience for yourself. And it's important when you are with a young lady and you're exploring your kink down the road a ways, whether this is your first experience, but definitely down the road a ways when you've had some sexual experience and you find a kinky young lady, consensuality, negotiation, communication, extremely, extremely important in the kink world. So there's books to read out there that can help you sort of explore some of this. You know, look up a dominant and submissive books. I cannot rattle them off right now, but I will put them in the Linkorama for you. And you can take a look at those, order them on Amazon or something like that if you have the opportunity. But there's lots of places to read up about this. If you just do a search on dominance and submission, you can find a whole bunch of blogs that talk about it. You can find a whole bunch of places on the internet that talk about how they might do it, like one particular couple, perhaps. So, yes, educate yourself and find out as much as you can about it. Good luck with your explorations, and thank you for writing in, and best of luck to you. Okay, another letter. This is a cute short one. I love this. I thought you might enjoy this. Really short backstory. I gave my man lover a pussy so I could have the pleasure of fucking him. And this was part of our conversation today. Him. We don't have to if you aren't interested. Just seems like a good way for me to explore and discover more about my pussy and understanding my G-spot. Me. I'm sure I want to, just don't know what you're referring to. Him. Ruby calls it the chairman. Me. Giggling. I would love to try everything with you. I love it when he learns things from you. Your name has definitely been thrown around a few times. I knew exactly what he was talking about. We need a chair, damn it. I love it. I don't think that when I started this whole journey that I thought that it would be a way cool thing to have my name come up during sexy times or sexual talk. Whether you're in the bedroom in bed or just sitting around the kitchen table talking about having sex that night and my name comes up, but it's pretty awesome, I gotta tell you. Yeah, thank you for sharing that with me. That's totally cool. Okay, here is another one. My wife and I recently started pegging. We have been using a medium plug in a harness, and it does the trick, if not a little small. My wife tells me she wants a dildo that looks like a cock. First, can you recommend a medium-sized cock for pegging? Girth over length. I think I can take a fairly large one. And second, does it have to be curved? Maybe something straight but pliable. She wants me to suck it, but the curved ones look odd. We are going to get the Tantus Silk Medium next, so maybe something around that size or a little bit bigger, but with very little curve, unless the curve is really recommended. Also, with the understanding that a harness is needed, is there a double ender of similar description so she could feel something as well? The internets are overwhelming. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny as I read this, I'm not sure if I've answered this question before. I did a search on it and it didn't show up in my notes, but it sounds so familiar. So if I actually have read this before and answered it, then excuse me, but I'm going to answer it again just in case I didn't. Okay. First of all, she wants a dildo that looks like a cock. That narrows the field. And does it have to be curved? No, it doesn't have to be curved at all. There's straight ones, there's curved ones, there's all kinds of different ones. And you said straight but pliable, and she wants you to suck it, but the curved one look odd. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a link in their Linkorama to the Blush Novelties Dual Density Real Nude line. The reason I want to do that is because you mentioned pliable. Dual density is the best kind of pliable and softer type of feel than any of them. All of these dildos are indeed fairly straight without a lot of curve. And as well, they have a suction cup on the bottom so that if you want to play with it in the shower or wherever, that works too. The link that I'm going to put in the Linkorama is going to have all of the different real nude lines. So you can take a look at the measurements and see which one you prefer, because I know that you mentioned girth over length and there's a number to choose from. So you can match up those measurements and see which one looks like it's the right one for you. And yeah, now the last question that you had was, is there a double ender of similar description so that she could feel something as well? There are not that many double enders that actually look like real cocks. The only one I can think of is the Real Dough that is made by Tantus. It's not necessarily one that I recommend. If you can get beyond the Real Dough part of it, if you can get beyond the real look of it, then probably the one that I would recommend the most would be the one that I have been recommending forever on the show, which would be the Fuse Tango. The Fuse Tango is definitely pliable. It's not real curved. There's a part that fits inside her, and the Clearo Vibe is placed really perfectly. But it doesn't fit the category of being realistic. And also, there are no dual density doubles, that they just don't exist, because by definition, the dual densities are a little bit softer. And for functionality with the doubles, you have to have something that's a little bit more rigid. So that's the double that I recommend more than any other. I'm not sure if it'll fit your needs. It does come in a few different colors, even though it's not realistic. So I'm going to put those links in Linkorama, and let us know what you end up with and how you like it. Thanks for writing in. Okay, we're going to leave it there for this time. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_writer. You can like me on Facebook. I have a page and a profile. You can subscribe to my blog. There's a link on the left-hand side column on the blog itself. My podcast is on iTunes, various podcast downloader apps and extensions, and it's also available directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. You can stream it directly from my blog now. And if you want to support my work, shop for your harnesses, dildos, Aneros prostate massagers, sex cushions, sex throws to keep your bed clean, spanking benches, wrist cuffs, and restraint systems at enticeme.com. Wow, that got kinky really fast, didn't it? If you want to support my work, you can shop for all those things at enticeme.com. Please remember to use the coupon code RUBY for 20% off. And if you're looking for the chance to have a job you can be passionate about, consider becoming an Enticeme Sexinista and doing home parties. They're sexy soirees, and you can spread the word about body-safe, non-toxic, top-of-the-line pleasure products. Enticeme pleasure products are so amazing that they practically sell themselves. For example, this is nothing to do with pegging here, but check this out. The WeVibe 4 is an incredibly well-designed U-shaped toy that stimulates your G-spot as well as your clitoris. It can be activated remotely from your phone. The vibrational pattern can be custom designed, G-spot, clitoris, both alternating, anything. And you don't have to be anywhere near each other to start it vibrating. A friend of mine had one, and she and her girlfriend in England had a great time with it on Skype. That's just an example. One of the many things that we sell at enticeme.com. But don't forget that code RUBY for 20% off. If you want to support my work, do some shopping there, and that will really help me out. You can send all your questions and stories to RUBY at peggingparadise.com. If you experience pegging for the very first time, please do. Even write me just a little short story like we had at the beginning of this podcast, because I really want to play the music for you. You deserve it. Getting to the point where you actually go out and buy it and conquer all those fears and communicate and do it is awesome. And I want to reward you and congratulate you and play the music for you. So please do write me and let me know if that's what's happening in your life. You can phone me at 805-500-6544, and you can leave questions or comments there. Or you can click the Write RUBY links at the upper right of every page of my blog. So, everybody, thank you for downloading and listening, and happy pegging.